You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, this is Emil Heskey, and you're listening to the Guys of Coppin Fracas.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Coppin Fracas, brought to you by Touchline Media Group. If you don't know already, it's your host Fahi. Alongside me, I have got two of my brothers. They're in opposite ends of the LFC fan base when it comes to positivity, pessimism, optimism, the way they rate players. So I'm sure it's going to be a great pod. Glam, I'll introduce you first before you start shouting at me for not introducing you. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Thanks for bringing me in first, man. I've got days where I really care, but yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, I'm good, you know. I'm good, man. I'm not good in terms of sporting reasons, understandably. But other than that, yeah, I'm good, man. How are you doing? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, you're the guy that always comes on after, you know, an embarrassing few days. So, you know, it's always good to see you back on. You're always the one repping. So
cool, my brother.
Peter's having dinner at 10:13. How you doing, brother Peter?
Yeah, I'm good. Obviously, the commitment to podding and analysis means that I can't eat during the games. You know, I've got to watch them games intensely to give that in-depth, you know, analysis. Not that protein, that meathead analysis that certain man on the podcast give. You know what I'm saying? If the street fits, you know, they're saying Ellis, but hey, but yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good.
What are you saying? You're there with paper and pen writing shit down?
That's me, bro. Literally, that's literally me. You know, I'm just, you know what I'm saying, so good, so wide. Just,
All right, man. Well, we'll get into your analysis for tonight. Obviously, this has been recorded straight after the 2-0 victory over Rangers in the Champions League. So we'll be discussing obviously the Rangers game that we've just seen. We'll discuss a bit of Brighton because I'm sure our ops want to hear our thoughts on the Brighton game, which obviously ended 3-3 on Saturday. We may have Yak join us as well, so we'll wait and see what happens here. But in the meantime, it's us three. Before we get started, just want to shout out all of our patrons. Thank you again for supporting Repping Coppens. Obviously, we've had great content out recently. The post-match on Saturday, me, Harold and Mark was really, really good. I mean, I think you could just tell how rattled we were. The conversation was fantastic. So if you've not joined on Patreon yet, please do join, because there's obviously 10 games in the month of October, so there'll be post-match for every single game. You've obviously got the Bantics show with Peter and Mike. You've got any other business. You've got the weekend preview, which Glam usually does. There's all sorts going on, so make sure you join www.patreon.com/copnfracas. All right, cool, let's get started. Lads, it's been a tough 3-4 days. I think we thought going into Saturday, obviously we're going to speak about Rangers first, but going into Saturday, I think we thought, you know, we've had a good 2.5-3 weeks off. We're fresh, we're rejuvenated. Let's go again. And then obviously our boys let Trossard dunk all over them. And obviously since then, we've been a bit rattled. The Kop in chat, I mean, I'm not seeing any optimism by anyone. You know, we've all kind of given up. Peter's been pessimistic. Glam is obviously always pessimistic. He's not changed. I've joined the crew. Nothing to celebrate right now. So going into tonight's game, Glam, what did you want to see to make you feel a bit better about the club?
Well, first of all, I wanted to see changes. I wanted to see the hammer drop and certain personnels being dropped. At least 3, maybe 4 players dunked on the bench. And that's the first thing and foremost. In terms of style of play, I'll be honest with you, it was Rangers. You know, even if we beat them 8-0 or 2-0, I weren't going to take anything from the game, if I'm honest with you, mate. I just expect it's a game that we should win. But I just think I see changes. I wanted to see the Klopp just obviously drop his hammer down, just get people spruced up. But didn't see that. But we won the game.
Yeah. What did you think of the formation change? So obviously we went from a 4-3-3 to a 4-4-2.
Well, yeah, it's kind of. I thought it was Nunes going to play up front singly. I liked the interchange. You saw Nunes on the right, Salah come in the middle, then Nunes on the left. Well, something had to give. Did it work? Well, we won the game. I don't know if that was something we would try with a better opposition, if I'm honest with you. But yeah, you have to try something different. We had to try something different, man, because what we had going for wasn't working, mate.
Cool. Peter, same question to yourself. Obviously, after the Brighton game, what did you kind of want to see from the club?
Okay, so after the Brighton game, I was kind of down on the dumps because it just felt like a kind of cycle where it's like we have these kind of rubbish performances. Yeah, we might end up scoring, but like it's not going to change. And like we've seen Klopp do so many different alterations and different versions of this 4-3-3. You've seen underlapping fullbacks, overlapping fullbacks. You've seen eights that cover the fullbacks. You've seen progressive eights. You've seen false nines. You've seen focal points of strikers. And it just felt like we're never ever going to venture away from it, from this 4-3-3. And it's not always like, not even always like a formation change. Sometimes you can do different stuff and build up. You can do different stuff on the attack. But it felt like there's just no change. And I didn't really see how we could change the upturn and form without a change in formation or change in tactics or a change in personnel. And then Klopp comes out in the press conference and also says that, like, I know they ask Klopp, are you going to change? Like, are you going to change, like, the way you play or your formation? And he says, we've got no time to change. Like, we have a game every what's called 3 days. So there's no time to change, which is, it's fair enough. But at the same time, we had games cancelled due to, obviously, Queen Lizzie dying, RIP. So in that time, you probably could have changed. We had a week. And also, we had an international break. I know, obviously, a lot of players went, but you still had a bit of time of some players that were still there. You know what I'm saying? The likes of Thiago and so on. So, yeah. But in typical, like, manager fashion, where these managers, they're a bit like Eddie Guerrero, you know, they love to lie. You know what I'm saying? Like, when they say they're not going to change it, that means they are going to change it. So it's an incredible pump fake from Klopp. And obviously, he does. When I see the lineup today, I'm just shocked because it seems like a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2. And incredibly attacking in terms of having Diaz, Jota, Nunes and Salah all on the pitch at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I was very interested to see what we would play and how we would line up. And what it would be like. So yeah, I was pretty excited by this just because it was something different. We haven't really seen something different from this Liverpool team in terms of lineup. It's been the same old, you know, 4-3-3. You know what I'm saying? So, and when you play a different formation, Rangers or the opposing team don't really have a clue what you're going to do, and that they have to kind of adjust on the fly. And we kind of see that in the game. I'm sure we'll get into it, but like they didn't really know how it was going to line up. They didn't know where anyone's positioned. So, it makes us unpredictable. But it could have went either way, to be honest. It could have went like we got killed in transition, or it could have went like, yeah, progressive. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's obviously, we started seeing this afternoon that we were going to go 4-4-2, saw like the league teams and everything. And yeah, after the game on Saturday, I think Peter, we were all chatting in the group chat, and we were saying, well, a few of us were saying, we just need to go with two in midfield rather than the three and just have a solid base. So it was interesting to see that Klopp did go with that solid base and literally just had...
Don't you think the 4-4-2 suits our players more?
It does. If you're looking at personnel, yeah. But I think in this day and age of football and the way opposition players and teams line up against us, it does leave us a bit exposed. You'd kind of have to have it in a way where the two in midfield literally just sit back.
Yeah.
They'd have to.
I think, but then it's not like a... There's different ways to kind of play it, I think. So you can kind of play like a 4-2-2-2. So, yeah. And that's a bit more like kind of vertical. And obviously, the wingers don't... Maybe are not in the same line as the forwards, but they can kind of get back in a bit much, a bit better. Obviously, you can play a 4-4-2. You can also play the kind of diamond in a diamond-y way, 4-4-2. So there's different ways to kind of play it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. So do you think today was 4-4-2? Because I don't actually think it was 4-4-2. Because if you're looking at the way the forwards were, it felt more 4-2-4.
Yeah. Yeah, Glam, you want to...
Yeah, no, I don't think it was a 4-4-2. It might have, I don't think at all it was playing like a 4-4-2. I think Mo Salah was high up the pitch when he was on the right-hand side more than, say, a right wing. I think the interchange in terms of what I said earlier, how the forwards changed, I don't think it was a 4-4-2.
Yeah, agreed. And I know obviously Trent's just come out and said that it we changed to a 4-4-2, but if that's a 4-4-2, that's an ultra-attacking 4-4-2, because that's not that's not how you set up the 4-4-2.
That's the personnel we have, though. We don't really have... Like, we have forwards, not like midfielders. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not as if we have like, I don't know, Alberto Riera and bloody Yossi Benayoun as the wingers. We have forwards. Like, they're not gonna. It's not in their like minds to kind of track back instantly. So that's the way we're gonna play it. But yeah, it's just interesting, obviously, to see kind of that formation kind of play out in this modern day and age with obviously the forwards and how forward thinking they are. And yeah, against opposition teams, gonna be very, very interesting.
Yeah, agreed. All right, cool. So let's get on with the game. It didn't take long for us to go 1-0 up. A certain someone has been in the spotlight for a while now. It's just been ridiculous. And obviously his performances haven't been great at all. And it's been a deserved flogging, to be fair. And I liked the approach Gary Neville took on Monday Night Football. I think he did it in the right way. I think he kind of actually gave you exactly what Trent should be doing, rather than the nonsense clickbaity, oh, Reece James is better than Trent, all this kind of nonsense. It was more like, you know what, this is actually what Trent is doing wrong, and this is how he can change. If he just moves his body shape like this, talking about all these different things, the little intricacies of being a fullback, that's what I kind of wanted to see from a pundit. And obviously Neville gave it. It was a good 4.5-minute breakdown. So listeners, if you haven't seen it, just go on YouTube, type in Sky Sports Football, and you'll be able to see it. But obviously Trent's been in the headlines for a while. He's obviously having a rough time. He's obviously not been given his best on the pitch. And he scores the first goal. Free kick from 25 yards, I'd say. Top corner. Makes it 1-0. How do you think... I'm not going to go to Glam for this, because Glam's not going to say anything. We'll balance it out. But Peter, how do you think that goal is going to help ease Trent's nerves and kind of, you know, the anxiousness he's probably had?
I think it's a great way to respond and a great way to kind of hit back at his critics and the media. Obviously, they've been getting onto him. And like you said, deservedly so. The performances he's put up recently, especially like the ones against Napoli, some of the goals against Brighton the other day, obviously the one that he's slipping, his body shape was all wrong. So I think he's been deserved to be flogged, but the best way to kind of bounce back is, like you said, by his performances and with a goal. So he does that. He takes his goal very well. And I think it's weird, because it's like a common pattern of him, where it's like when he's getting flogged, he just like kind of produces like a special moment. So it shows his maybe incredible mentality and his ways of bouncing back. And I don't think, you know, it would get to him too much in terms of, I think we have a lot of elder statesmen in the squads. So I think the likes of Milner, Henderson, Van Dijk could be talking to him constantly, telling him to kind of ignore the media, ignore the press. And he's been in the squad for quite a long time now. So he's been in the squad since he's 18. He's now 23, 24. So I don't think it would get to him too much. I think he'll just kind of focus on his game. But what I will say is I don't think this goal kind of glosses over everything. He hasn't been great this season. He does need to improve. Today, obviously, wasn't the best game in terms of maybe putting himself against like a strongest attacker. I thought Ryan Kent, he was a good player, didn't really get him as much. I thought Ryan Kent could have maybe...
Ryan Kent was a good player?
I think he's talented, for sure. When I watch him in SBO... Like, yeah. On the ball, he's talented. Like, he's talented. That's what I would say.
Yeah,
he's
got, Peter, I've seen worse fingers. I think we can plonk you on the SPL, man, and I think you could cause a bit of damage.
I've seen worse wingers give Trent, obviously, trouble. So, maybe putting like that. But...
They didn't have the ball enough to get to Kent anyway.
Yeah. So, but obviously, I think Arsenal will be the main test. Obviously, him...
We'll get into that.
That'll be the main test for a minute. But it's a nice way to bounce back from his critics, but he's not just off. It's not just a goal and yeah, he's back. No, like he still needs to improve on what Gary Neville said. He still needs to improve on his performances. So, but yeah, it's a nice goal.
Cool. Glam, what did you make of Trent's performance today? So I'll give you a few stats. I've got them to hand. So Trent today... from a defensive point of view, 5 tackles attempted, 4 tackles won. Aerial duels, 2 attempted, 2-1. Pass succession, 86%, 2 shots, 1 goal. I don't know what more you'd kind of want to see. Like, talk to me, what did you see from Trent today, and is it an improvement on what you've seen this season?
Bluntly, not really. I'll be honest, he done fine today. Great goal. Like, it's good that he scored a free kick of recent because he's got the technical ability. Other than that, no, not really. Obviously, was he tested defensively? No, I saw a couple times when he was caught out of position, but I think that's just is his game. But yeah, mate, I didn't see anything to say, yeah, he's over his walls. I think the post...
I saw him sprint back a couple of times, to be fair to him.
Yeah.
He's sprinted back, like, actually, for once today.
The goal would help him. But, you know, come Sunday, you know, boy, I'm worried.
I'm already laughing because I know I know what's going to happen, man.
I'm worried.
Yeah, Gabby Martinelli is just going to target Trent like he did last season.
Yeah, last time. You remember? That's when Klopp was talented boy. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he's just going to target it, man. It's going to be a rough Sunday afternoon for
him. But in terms of today, yeah, he had a relaxing game, man. We'll see. That might help him. Because sometimes when week in, week out, and you have a stinker, let's be honest, you feel it in it. So it might rejuvenate. Who knows?
Yeah. Now, and I think also with the system change, having the two sitting in midfield, you now kind of have Henderson covering that right-sided area, right? A lot more. Like, he's definitely dedicated to that area. So I think that should also help in a sense when it comes to certain patterns of play where they kind of get into pockets of possession around the Matip and Trent area. So I think Hendo being in that area as well should kind of help alleviate some of the issues. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting Sunday with Trent. I am really surprised by Ryan Kent and the fact that he just didn't go at Trent today. Like, he didn't have the opportunity a few times. He didn't do anything. Yeah. He kind of just went to cut
there's
in.
There's a guy, I think, that Matondo guy came on in the second half and he got at Trent a lot more than Ryan Kent did.
Yeah. I'm really surprised. I honestly thought Kent would go at Trent the entire game.
Yeah, it's interesting, to be honest. But I think Rangers were the perfect opponent for Trent and for us, to be honest, today, in terms of trying out a new formation. Rangers basically complying and basically not really offering a threat, and us being able to try something out new and not really be tested. So, and Trent wasn't tested too. So, yeah, I think Rangers was the perfect opponent for us to get our confidence back and for Trent too.
Yeah, agreed. So, What did you make of the first half? Like, what were you expecting from this kind of game, to be honest? Because obviously Rangers, we know that they're not to the level of us. But obviously, we have not been playing to the level of us anyway. So at any point, or even before the game, were you kind of worried that this could be a bit of a game where we're still not ourselves and Rangers could cause us some trouble, Glam? You're nodding your head.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. I was just... Because obviously, that's exactly how I felt against Brighton. And I actually, it lost my mind where Brighton was actually in the league. I know we're going to touch on them. But yeah, I was thinking, I don't know, you know, guys. And that's the sad thing about it. This is where I'm at right now. Like, yeah, we're playing Rangers at home, and I'm like,
I don't know.
like, because I don't know. I just don't know. And yeah, man, like, I shouldn't be feeling like that, especially at home as well. But this is how they got me feeling, mate. I'll be honest.
Glam is glum, mate. I'm going to start calling you glum.
Let's be real, though. None of us are looking forward to this game. Like, we was all thinking, oh,
nah, but yeah, I'm gonna...
you know what? Tuesday again.
The moment they signed Jesus, I sent off a tweet off my account and I said something along the lines of the one area where Arsenal always struggle against us, they've now like solved. And it's just like, you know what? It's going to be a much tougher game. It's not going to be the same game. Because usually against us, even when we battered them 3-0, 4-0, they would still create chances. But the problem would be there'd be no one there to kind of take those chances. But now you've got Jesus, who's going to cause even more havoc in and around the area, but he's also going to be in the right position to take those chances.
Yeah, for sure.
Jesus is he's a problem. He's always been a good player, but we need to be sharp. And I know I would love if Konate was.
I would love to
put 7 minutes. Konate to start. I would love it, but it's not going to happen.
What did you Peter? What did you make of Henderson today? So obviously another man that's been coming in deservedly. We're for a lot of stick recently. Someone who's been loose with possession, someone who's been off the pace. I think he's literally been a detriment to the team. So what did you make of him today in the duo with Thiago?
Yeah, I thought it was really good today. I think this is probably his best performance of the season. I've been quite critical of Henderson this season, just in terms of he just looks really stiff to me. And he looks like He looks like he's losing his mobility and his agility on the football pitch and on the ball. Like, he can't really, like, when he receives the ball, you know how some people can, like, Henderson, it takes him a while to kind of turn and assess, unless he's playing like the way he's facing. I just really don't think that he can kind of, he doesn't have that same kind of agility. And obviously, we know that he's losing his kind of engine as well around the pitch. He's not able to get up and down as quick as he once used to. So I think this, like I said, I think this formation suits us a little bit more than a 4-3-3 now, because our midfielders are aging, and I don't think Henderson has the kind of facilities to play that up and down eight anymore. So having him playing as a pivot and having him play as a sitter almost next to Thiago, who can kind of win the duels and he can kind of just move it 1-2 touch, which he's actually really good at, it suits him a lot more. And in this position, he doesn't need any, like, he doesn't need to go forward, which I like, you know what I'm saying? We've got four tackles already who can cause mayhem. He doesn't need to, you know what I'm saying, run forward and then try and trek back. He just needs to kind of protect the defence and kind of protect us on counters and position himself well so we don't get countered. So, I thought it was really good today. He also played some nice kind of clip passes as well. When Henderson's got time, he's actually not a bad passer, to be fair to him. So he played some nice hoof balls that actually worked. I remember one to Nunes that Nunes probably should have scored. I think he took it with a touch of his left foot and shot.
It's on the left-hand side, right?
Yeah, he took a touch of his left foot and then he shot at McGregor. McGregor saved it. So, one of Henderson's better performances, and I'd like to see him in a double pivot more often.
Yeah, now I'd say he was on the ball more. He made more passes than Thiago. Better success rate, and he had more key passes as well. So, like you said, actual creating chances. Hendo did actually do his job today. Let's see what happens moving forward. If we're going to stick to a 4-4-2, 4-2-2, whatever the hell you want to call it, what duo Glam would you want in the midfield too?
I don't want
You know the answer, you just don't want to
say. Yeah, he knows the answer, he just doesn't want to say a certain guy's name.
Obviously, it's going to be Fab and Thiago, but... Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, we're just... Yeah, I don't like them two in there, though. That's the thing. Not footballing-wise and technically.
I think they get outrun.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? But then I cross the other way and I say... I'm not going to justify, say, leave out Thiago or Fabinho for Henderson, am I? So... But Henderson will play. Henderson will play. That's what I'm saying. Klopp won't go with that. Henderson will play.
I can't fathom 3:30 on Sunday seeing Thiago Fabinho dropped. I can't do it. No. I can't do it.
Well, the system will change then because Henderson's starting.
I don't think he will. You know, I don't think he will.
Are we at Emirates?
Can't surely.
Yeah, I think we are at Emirates. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're at the Emirates.
Fuck, you know, no, you can't start.
You can't.
I don't want to see Milner start either.
Nah, all right. That's not happening. Hey,
Don't joke with that one, Glenn.
But, all right, cool. So it was interesting when Fabinho came on. I think Bobby came on as well. Nunes got took off and Hendo.
Jota got taken off.
Yes, Jota got taken off. But I think there was a period where when Fab came on, you guys were trying to say that you think this may be the lineup for Sunday. So what lineup were you saying, Peter? I think it was a convo you and Mike were having.
So yeah, Mike was saying that he believed that was the lineup that was going to start on Sunday. So he was saying that he thinks that will be Firmino and Nunes up top with obviously Diaz and Sal on the wings and then Fabinho and Thiago in the middle.
That don't make sense to me. Surely it'd be Firmino and Jota up top.
I don't think so because I just feel like, do you know why? I feel like you need a physical presence up against Pauls, up against Saliba and Gabriel. Mm. And I feel like you make their life quite easy if you just have Firmino up there. And I know Jota will be up there too, but I feel like you need it. Like if Nunes is giving them a tough time, hopefully Firmino will be able to kind of pick them holes up and maybe get a couple of chances, maybe score a couple of goals. So I would personally stick... I would probably go with Nunes and Jota, personally. But I think Klopp will go with Firmino and Nunes because Nunes, you need a physical presence up against Gabriel and Saliba. Like we saw against the Man United game when Firmino was playing up against Martinez and Varane. They had it so easy. Like, so easy. So I would stick Nunes on Gabriel and just hope that he makes a Bozo mistake because Gabriel is liable to them Bozo mistakes.
All right, so let's stick on Nunes for a second. Obviously, a man that started today. Again, a lot of talk about him. He had a 2-minute appearance on Saturday.
Ridiculous.
Lord knows why. I don't even want to understand why that happened.
Apparently, he was injured. That's what Klopp said.
Yeah, bro, I don't
know. Yeah, we know that, but why come for fucking 2 minutes?
Bro, honestly, it's just either way, he started today. Glam, what did you make of what you saw from Nunes today? Hit me with your thoughts.
Yeah, you know what? First and foremost, with Nunes, I don't care what sort of day it is, he's going to get chances. He's always going to get chances. Yeah. That's one thing I like about him. He's always going to get chances. He's got great timing of runs, very rarely caught offside. And, you know, he gets opportunities. The only thing with him, obviously, he's hitting the ball too clean, straight to the keeper, either. Straight narrow down the middle, could have clipped it over. So you look at his chances. When he gets his sharpness in, I can see them going in the back of the net. In terms of, obviously, team build-up as well, I liked how he went out at left, his hold-up play. He brought it into Thiago in the first half. Then he went out wide, he sprayed the ball one. So overall, I liked his overall gameplay. It would have been good for him to get a goal. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I can deal with this for now because, obviously, it's early days. But not 20 odd games of the season, I'm seeing this and he's having shutouts with chances, then yeah, I'll start getting worried. But for now, you know, just give him a run. He needs a run now.
Yeah, Peter, same question to you. What did you think of Nunes?
Yeah, that's a really good point, to be honest. When now I think about it, it's true. Like, if I was to see this version of Nunes, like, you know what I'm saying, maybe in like April or March, I'd get quite worried. But like, I think this is what, maybe this is fourth start or third start. So they're definitely positives to take from it. For sure. He's just a bit of a funny footballer. I don't like the thing of Nunes, he's just so funny. Like some like he always gets chance, and his movement is fantastic. Like his movement is actually fantastic, but it's just the way he strikes the ball sometimes. I'm just a bit like, whoa. Or like some of his like decisions on the ball, like outside the penalty box, I'm just like, I get a bit like confused. And I don't think his tech is that bad. Like when he wants to execute like a pass on that, he can. But there was one where he was just on the touchline. He didn't look before he passed it. He just passed it. And it was just like, it was very careless. And we kind of lost the ball there. But yeah, he just looks kind of raw. He looks very, very raw.
That's what he was. Yeah, he needs coaching.
It's like, I don't think we expected him. I don't think Klopp expected him to be this raw when we signed him. And they are positives to with him. So he's obviously, he's tall. He's quick. His movement's fantastic. He's a handful for defenders. Mm-hmm. But he's just not as... not as refined as we probably would have liked him. So I think, yeah, he just will need some time. He might need a run.
But do you think that's something, thinking about that, our system is completely different to a Benfica, you know, to a Uruguay. So do you, obviously, with that said as well, I remember you guys saying he needs a partner up top. He's got his goals anyway. He's got goals through that. But I do feel... You know, because when you look at him, for some reason, he's always crowded out. I think he has to come deep to get the ball, to get space, which I noticed. But his runs are brilliant.
Yeah, they are.
But yeah, and once he gets one or two goals, I think they'll start flourishing, man. Because he's had a bit of a stop. He's had a funny start, Nunes.
Yeah.
From sent off to postponement with the Queen to sub. It's just been funny.
One thing I did like about him, he's comfortable in a wide area. So he did not mind going into left wing, right wing, dribbling, taking on the man on the wide areas. Like sometimes, and it might be to his benefit because he might need to conserve his energy, maybe just stay in the box and just conserve it for his finishing. But he really didn't mind maybe swapping with Salah or swapping Jota at times, making runs into the channels, taking the fullbacks on. So that was quite impressive. He was able to interchange with our forwards quite well, to be fair to him. But
if you look at the baller, well, there's a lot of ballers there. You think about it, though. You got Salah there, you got Diaz trying to ball out, you got Nunes there, you got Jota trying to ball out, and then when you make the subs, you got Firmino. Like, you know, there's a lot of ballers there, you know. There's a lot of ballers there,
and this is my point. I think I made it. I can't remember where I said it now, but I said that I'd rather play. Oh, it was on the spaces. I'd rather play an extra attacker than a midfielder because our quality is in this attack. Like, look at the attack Lamb just mentioned. That's five quality attackers. So I'd rather get a Nunes or a Firmino on the pitch than a Milner. You know what I'm saying? Or or whoever. So you just need to find a way to make it work, kind of thing. And he definitely got spaces. I like the spaces that Jota was taking up as well because Nunes was running behind and Jota was kind of playing in between the lines and John looks very comfortable in between the lines, to be honest.
Yeah, I think also when you're looking at the way that this forward line kind of approaches games moving forwards, in the games where Nunes doesn't have the space to run in behind, it will allow Jota more areas to kind of retrieve the ball. Because ultimately what happened tonight was Nunes had the space, right? So he could run on.
Yeah.
But in other games, if the defenders are focused on Nunes and they're sitting back, that allows more space in front of the ball.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's where it will be like really lethal.
Yeah. So if what you're saying is like, let's say, I don't know, like we're attacking and then Nunes kind of goes to the front post. That, and then obviously like a centre back, all the centre backs would obviously go and follow Nunes to the front post, and that would maybe leave like a gap for like a late runner like Jota to
score. And I think if you kind of look at some of the poachers' goals that Jota scored, that's kind of what he's done previously, and that's kind of what he liked. Those are the kind of goals he likes to score. So I don't think it'll be a detriment to Jota at all, but it'll be interesting.
I think Jota would prefer playing as a CF or whatever, like a second striker than left wing or whatever he's playing, or even as a focal point by himself. Like, I think Jota would like to play with a big man up top, you know what I'm saying? He'd get more goals that way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just want to see Jota in and around the middle of the pitch, to be honest. I don't want to see him on the left-hand side.
Yeah, I think he's better, When he's like, he's kind of explosive in that central area. When he gets it, like, let's say the ball's broken down and he gets, like you said, like he retrieves it. I mean, that's when he's at his best.
Yeah, no, agreed. Yeah. Agreed. All right, cool. So if you had to choose... I love asking Glav these questions. If you had to choose a man in the match for today, who would you go with?
Today's game.
Who does he hate the least?
In it.
Who would I give the man a match to? Probably. Probably Diaz.
It's fly, man.
Diaz has had the quietest game ever.
Diaz is a quiet game. I don't. He's non-stop though. Diaz. He won the penalty. That was
a great dribble into the box.
He's just non-stop. I like his energy. But
this is the thing with Diaz, right? That you have two versions of Diaz. You have the one that just retains possession and stays on the flank, or you have the other one that wants to run at a defender and literally go after them. And tonight we saw the one where he just wants to run into that defender, go past them. And like my only thing with Diaz is we know he's got the ability to dribble past most of these defenders, but he picks and chooses games when he wants to do that. And it's like, no, we need you to be the guy that always makes that run. You can't pick and choose games where you want to kind of just cut in and retain possession and pass to the midfield. You need to be the guy that's explosive, pause, go down the flank, cross it in, or cut in and shoot.
Yeah. No, I'll get you. Well, who do you guys think man the match was?
I would probably give it to... I would say Salah or Henderson. Salah's just involved in everything. And I think Salah's even playing at a 7 or an 8. But Salah's he's still involved. He's not even trying. But he's still involved in everything. Like that young boy that was playing left centre back had a tough game, like a tough game. Salah kept running at him, kept cutting inside, getting chances. And this is Salah at like a 7 or 8. This is Salah in just creator mode. You know what I'm saying?
With Salah, you can tell very early on in a game what kind of Salah you're going to get, because if he doesn't rate the opponent in front of him, he's going to run at them straight away.
Yeah.
And you saw tonight, like minute one, he was running at that left back and the left centre back. He was like,
he created a lot of chances for Nunes. Salah should have had at least 2 assists.
Yeah. I like the understanding between Salah and Nunes, to be honest.
Yeah. Salah's path is excellent. Like, I think that's such an underrated aspect of his game. Like, you'll never ever see Salah overhit a pass. You know what I'm saying? It's always the other way around. They always overhit a pass to Salah. Salah doesn't really overhit a pass. Like, he's able to create and able to kind of playmake at such a good rate, but it's kind of underrated. But even I don't think it's his best performance, but I would still say he's just involved in everything.
Fair. Cool. So you want to give it to Salah.
Glam, you're on mute.
Yeah, no, I'm saying I'll get you. That's fair.
Cool. So Diaz and Salah.
Fair. What about you, Tony?
I'll stick with Diaz.
You're going to go with Diaz. You know what? I'm going to give it to Trent, man.
Okay.
I'm going to give it to Trent because it's such a poor excuse of giving someone a match. It tells you the quality of opposition we had, where I can just say, yeah, I'm going to give Trent man the match because he didn't do anything wrong. Like, that is so poor. It's so poor, man. All right. On that note, we're going to go on an ad break and then we'll be right back.
UEFA Champions League football is streaming on Paramount Plus. 9 months of heart-stopping, hold-your-breath exhilaration is underway with the biggest stars, top teams and craziest fan bases across Europe. Watch every game from the group stage through the knockout rounds as Benzema and Real Madrid defend their title against Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, Barcelona and more in football's biggest club competition. So don't miss a single sweat-soaked second of regulation time, stoppage time and extra time, and stream every match of the UEFA Champions League live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Cool. All right, we're back. So we're ready to discuss Champions League.
Wait, hold on. This Shimkas brother,
God.
Are you unsure? I don't know.
I've never said I was sure.
I don't know about this guy, though.
What's wrong with
him? Like, I thought, Glam, like, are you sure? Like, is this the one?
You know what it is, Glam? I'll tell you what my issue with Tsimikas is. He doesn't have the intelligence to make the run at the right time. And when he has the ball in the final third of the pitch, he does not have a Scooby what to do with it. And his get-out clause is he's got a whip on him.
A good whip.
And that's it. Like, I don't know what it is with him, but he just doesn't seem to have an understanding with whoever is in left centre midfield or whoever is on left wing. Like, he can never time the run. And if you look at the first half, him and Diaz, it just made no sense. Like,
there was one time where Diaz was on the outside, and then instead of Tsimikas to make the underlapping run, he went round him to make another overlapping run. It was like he almost ran off the
pitch. How wide do you want to get?
I just feel like he hasn't really, like, he still plays like he's a new player, and he's been there for like 2 or 3 seasons. He plays like a square peg in a round hole all the time.
I think it's harsh. I think he deputizes well when he's played majority of the time. He's not a regular. He's not a first teamer. When he's called upon, rarely he comes in before. I don't know what you expect from him, mate. Like, what does he really do wrong?
But, okay, it's not about what you expect from him. It's the fans that are saying, okay, he's as good as Robertson. Let's drop Robertson for him. He's the best second left back in the league. Like, it's not that.
Robertson's been having stinkers, isn't it? So when he's been having stinkers, he's come in. He's done all right, I think.
But Robertson's stinkers are still better than my man's good performances.
I just think, like, he is what he is. He is cover. And he's decent enough, adequate cover. Because how many good covers do you know out there that's going to be top level? Like, Robertson's our first choice. And he's back up. There's nothing wrong with him, man.
Back up. Hey, those are good backups.
Left back, like, what are you expecting? Like, I think it's really harsh.
I'm not going to lie, yeah. If I see my left wing on the bottom of the pitch, I don't know why I'm going to try and make an overlapping run on the outside of the pitch. That ain't even
make sense. He ran off the pitch, nearly off the pitch to make overlapping
runs. He's such a bozo at times. I'm like, the one redeeming quality of Tsimikas is he has got a whip on him. It's a very good weapon to have. And it can get him out of trouble. But in terms of actually using his brain when playing football, I really don't understand how he times his runs and, like, his understanding of what all the other players around him are doing.
Like, the 1-2s, like, when you see, like, a 1-2 of him, it's like, it's probably delayed or he has to do it. It's never like, it's like, which it might be harsh because he doesn't play in the first team as regularly. But I don't know, man. He just, like Clam said, he's just cover and he's nothing better than that. So the people that are hyping him up, it's not that. But he made a fantastic block. Fair play to him. That block was that defied the laws of physics. So fair play. That block was great.
But talking of not that, Saturday was not that. Saturday 3 p.m. Anfield. Our brother talking to Mush travelled 4.5 hours.
Streets are saying
he couldn't sleep that night because he was so excited to go to Anfield. He woke up 6 a.m., prepared, had his porridge, and he was ready to go. And he saw a 3-3 Leandro Trossard masterpiece. Glam, what went wrong, man?
What went right, mate? I think from the off, we looked shaky, and I think again, I think we had the Man United mentality. The Man United game was a shoo-in. This game was basically how much. That's what this game was, and I just think we got overrun. We got overrun. We got bossed. You name it, and then I think the guys were shell shocked, and we got outperformed. It's as simple as that. We got outperformed, and this is where I'm looking to. The sidelines or the coach, Linders, the Klopp, whatever. What can you do here? Now, to be fair, you know, we spirit a fight back. But, mate, I was in shock. When it was 2-0 down, I was at work, like, what the fuck? I'm hearing ping. Like, what the
shit? You know that first 20 minutes, man? The first 20 minutes, we should have been 4-0 down. They were pamming us. Welbeck missed from 5 yards out. He headed it straight to Ali. Obviously, Trossard missed as well. And it's like, yo, like, we weren't even rattled. We just didn't have a clue what was going on. Brighton were running rings around us, man. They were running rings around us. And I was shook. I was like, yo, we're going to get battered, man. This is actually looking like a good 4-5-0 spanking. But you know what? The only positive I can... And I'm going to cap this positive up until the 70th minute. The only positive I can give is 2-0 down, should have been 4-0 down, absolutely getting battered. And these guys obviously found a way to get back into the game, right? They got back into the game in such a way that they got back and they're winning 3-2. And then at that point, you're thinking, you know what? Cool. Yeah. It's all good. They're going to see it home now. And there's no way they're going to let it slip again and mess it up. And then some questionable subs were made. Two of those subs were made before our third goal went in. I don't think the two subs that came on actually had anything to do with the third goal. So either way, Milner came on. And who was the second guy that came on with Milner? Because I'm still rattled by this.
Was it Diaz come at halftime?
Milner and Elliot.
Elliot.
Yeah, Milner and Elliot come on at 2-2, where we're basically controlling the game. Either way, we get to 3-2 up. And then we just start falling apart again. It's just like we started losing possession. We started losing all our duels. And Brighton were just getting back into the game constantly. You can see that they're looking at Trent's area. They're thinking, you know what? We're going to go down that side again. That's where we're going to get some opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's like, my one criticism of Klopp, and I listen, Jurgen Klopp, I love that man. No pause. I love that man. Like, he's giving me everything. Like, we've won everything. It's a fact. But, you know, if I had to criticise him for one thing, it's his in-game management. It is so poor at times.
Yeah.
And you're watching your right back drown right now. You're seeing Trossard have a bunch of fun in between the space of Trent and Matip. And you're doing absolutely nothing to minimise that risk. Now, I know hindsight is a beautiful thing, but why would you not have brought on Joe Gomez and just put him in the right side of defence?
Favoritism.
Why did you continue with Trent? What did you think was going to happen for the final 20 minutes? Did you just think Brighton were going to just let us have the ball and just, yeah, we're just going to go in and win 4-2, 5-2, 6-2? Like, what did he think was going to happen?
And this is what annoys me about him, like, anybody else, they would have been hauled off maybe at half time or anything. Now, I understand you love his qualities. I understand that. But sometimes think of the team. Think of the team and think of the player as well. Let's be honest. Sometimes when you're having a stinker, as much as people see you come off at half time, you're thinking to yourself, thank you. Thank you for that.
Bro, you know what it is, yeah? As a big man, you don't want to be the one asking to be taken off.
Yes, exactly.
You
know what
I mean? You want to firm it and be like, I want to do it. But reality is, you need someone to just be like, yo.
You ain't got a choice.
You need to come off.
Just like a boxer in a boxing ring. Listen, if you're getting battered, I've seen boxers getting battered. And I don't care. Even one fight Wilder had his corner threw in the towel. He was happy. Don't get it deep down. But your pride takes a hit. Nah, I didn't want to come out. But listen, really, I'm like, fucking hell. Thank God for that. Because I was sinking there. And that's what sometimes you need. And I think the fact of, whether you call it Trent being dropped or whatever, he should have took him out the firing line. Because sometimes it's too much. He's 23 years of old. And sometimes you got looked at and think, come on, Klopp, man. Come on. Because you've done it to other players. You've done it to the younger players. You've held him off at halftime. Like, you've done it. Like, you should have took him off to say, you know what? But I don't get it, but I understand why he hasn't taken him off. Because if he takes him off, it's like,
That's why I think he didn't, because
that's what I mean. But you got to stay strong to yourself, man. Forget the media, forget the influence, but it plays on his mind. Because what does he do after? He has a 2-minute press conference over you lot understanding Trent's role. Like, what are you doing, mate? What are you doing?
just focus on your own game and your own style. But yeah, we hung Trent out to dry. We hung him out to dry.
Yeah, I think he didn't take him on because obviously, like you said, he obviously done that 2-minute press conference back in Trent to the media, back in Trent to Southgate. Yeah. Obviously, if he took Trent off, he then would have admitted defeat in terms of he's been backing this player to the hill and he's been saying obviously that like he trusts this player. He fully obviously he loves his abilities and this.
Yeah.
He was basically kind of taking the blame for Trent obviously being kind of bad defensively, saying that this is how he wants them to play. So. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a stubbornness that these managers have. You know what I'm saying? Klopp has it, Pep has it. Like, all they kind of have it where they know that, obviously, there's a problem, but they don't want to admit it because if they admit it, you know what I'm saying, the media and others will be like, you know what I'm saying, we told you so, whatever thing. So, yeah. But yeah, and he did drown. There was a lot of problems that game because I watched that game full night today because I was playing football on Saturday, so I wasn't able to watch it live. And there was just a lot of problems in terms of we had a disjointed press. Like, our press was just all over the place. Because sometimes Salah and Firmino would press, and then Cavalier wouldn't be with them, or Henderson and Trent would press, and then Salah wouldn't be with them. So, like, just a lot of players, our press was so easy to play out as well. Like, the amount of times Sanchez would go to Webster, then Webster would find McAllister, and then that's it. They're through. You know what I'm saying? So, within three passes, Brighton were able to play round our press straight away. And I don't know why our press is so disjointed. Played this way.
For legs, how many mate, years? They're older, man. Team's older, mate. I just we had 30th birthdays on Sunday. Alisson and Fabinho.
Yeah, it's facts.
Yeah, and legs. I also thought it was very negligent of Klopp to play that left hand side in terms of playing Shimkas, a guy who doesn't really play in the first team as much, and then playing Cavalier, a 19-year-old on top of that. So playing both of them on the same side to me was just that was crazy. Like that was never ever gonna work. Like in a Premier League game, to play two players who kind of are not familiar with the team system, not familiar with the team's games as much, like on the same side. It was just crazy to me.
And Carvalho struggled with the press as well.
Yeah,
he did. Obviously, he's not quite there yet. You know what I'm saying? He's a 19-year-old who just made the transition from the Championship to the Premier League. So, and then on the counter, we could not stop them. Like, we just could not stop them. We couldn't take them down. We couldn't jump into a tackle. Henderson, Fabinho, Thiago. I don't want to see that midfield ever again. Like, ever, not ever again, but I don't want to see
it. I'm done with it.
It's too slow. Like, it's actually too slow. Like, all of them together, they're good on the ball. And we did score some nice goals with Henderson finding Thiago and Thiago finding Diaz and then Diaz finding Firmino. But off the ball, that midfield trio, it can't work. Like, we've seen it against Fulham. We've seen it against the quick.
My God.
Yeah.
Henderson's at the edge of the box. For Thiago was on the left.
The air kicks.
And then Fabinho was in the middle exposed by himself. Bro, it was horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous and embarrassing. But you know what?
Some people think that's our best trio. Like, if we was to play a cup final tomorrow, people would play that trio, but it's just too slow and it doesn't work.
The worst thing about it, that friggin' bum sack, Naby Keita, is partly being our trio. As the worst as it sounds, him fit, he would be in that.
Yeah,
that's what it's about. That guy, I can't stand him, man. Can't believe he's still on our books.
That's a lot of problems.
Agreed. But you know what? We've spoke a bit about Trent, but I watched that full 90 live, and I even think he was the worst player in our team. I think Van Dijk was horrific.
Yeah.
He was so bad. He was a shadow of himself like he's been this season. Obviously, you saw how well he played during the internationals. And then you're thinking, oh, you know what? He's going to be rejuvenated. He comes back and he's not doing anything. He's down tools, man. It's like, oh, fuck, you know, if Virgil's down in tools, we're actually fucked, man. Like, this guy is the rock. He's our rock, man. He's the solid one. So if he's like now down in tools and not trying and, you know, like kind of shrugging his hands at people, I'm like, oh, God, this is not good.
When we could see that second goal, I looked at their reactions. Man weren't surprised. Like, a lot of them were just not surprised. They're just looking like, bro, we can't stop this. Like, Van Dijk's reaction when we could see the second goal didn't really do much. Like, they just looked like they weren't even shocked. They didn't really care too much. Like, it just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? We're just shit.
Even another one that should get dropped. But again, the manager might have the balls to. They won't. This is the problem. Like, I just think some egos just need rattling a bit. I'm sorry. It really does, for the team's sake.
And Glam, another thing I've been saying, we had the Twitter spaces and I made the comment. I was like, players like, again, another player I'm going to bring into the fold, Fabinho, players like Van Dijk, they probably feel so comfortable in their position, knowing that they don't have like competent backups.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what? Well, bruv, I can do whatever. Klopp's going to... He's going to name him starting 11 next week anyway. It doesn't make a difference. Do you get what I mean? I think that's my issue. It's like, all right, Van Dijk, I can kind of get. Salah, I can get. Cool. But, you know, like in midfield, I think we've got to a point where we're so reliant on Fabinho playing well that it's become detrimental to the team. But it's like Fabinho now can't have a bad spell, because the moment he has a stinky spell, it's so noticeable and it impacts us massively, because that number six position in that trio midfield, when we're playing that formation, is crucial. And it's just like, it's so crucial. And like the fact that we don't have a competent backup for Fabinho is crazy. And obviously he's been suffering recently, man. And I think it was good that he got a rest today. Hopefully it means for the Arsenal game that he'll be the one back into the team.
One positive, obviously, I don't want it to be all doom and gloom, is that I think I'm not worried about attack. That's one place I'm not worried about. Every time we seem to have these rubbish results, we seem to always pull out goals from somewhere. And I think even when we haven't got patterns of play, I think we have enough individual ability for someone like a Diaz to just pull out a goal from somewhere, or even Firmino to pull out two goals from somewhere. So I feel like our attack is always going to score goals, in my opinion. I think we've got five quality attackers. And I thought Firmino was probably the worst out of them, but he's actually doing the best out of them. So I'm not really worried about attack, to be honest. It's just that midfield and defence is just looking spooky.
Our midfield is just
spooky. Like,
it's just even we've got injured players to come back. Our midfield needs a full rebuild, demolition block rebuild, man. Like it's just so, I don't know how it's come like that though. It's just all of a sudden it's just wonky.
You know what it is, bro? It's negligence. It's negligence though. It's negligence from the club, man. Like the fact that the only investment they've put into that centre mid position in the past few years is Thiago. Crazy. Like, where's the future proofing? What was going on? Like, what did you man think that Hendo, Fabinho, Milner, them lot, they'll still be balling out like at these ages?
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Of course not. Of course there's going to be a downturn. So where's the next crop of players? Where are they? Because if you sign Klopp for another 3-4 years, you're telling him you're going to have another cycle of a team. Where is the start of that cycle? I don't see it.
You've even got like wingers, basically, that transition from attacking positions to centre mids. So like Elliot was actually a winger. He's not actually a centre mid. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like,
you can tell. Exactly.
So that's not even like, people will say, oh, Elliot Jones, but these are forward players that transitioned into centre mids. We actually haven't got any natural centre mids that are good enough to play coming through the academy. We haven't bought any.
It's scary. It's so scary. And it's just like, there needs to be more made of this, but everyone is scared to talk. Like anyone affiliated to the club, any journalist, anyone, any other podcast, every other LFC media broadcaster, whoever, no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to talk about the negligence when it comes to investing into that midfield and the lack of investment in that midfield.
And we can tell now. And now I can tell where Arthur hasn't got any minutes, and it was stated already that made it permanent from the off.
Yeah, they're like, yo, this guy's not permanent.
He's not going in January, but we're not signing him. From then, you've done another Ben Davis to us. To keep the crowd happy, because it clearly it's not it. And it's all this Bellingham link. I don't want to hear about it no more. Jude Bellingham.
Bro, Jude Bellingham is not coming to us, man.
You know what I mean?
You think he's not got better clubs to go to?
My thing is, why would Jude Bellingham come to us? Like, he's looking at us like, why would... Like, people's reasoning to me is that, oh, he likes Liverpool. Like, what kind of reasoning is that? Like, he's got to think about his career. He's got to think about trophies that he wants to win. He's got to think about, like, you know what I'm saying, his legacy. Just because you like the club isn't enough.
I think we would be the best club for him because you would play. I'm not going to be funny.
Where he goes, Glam? Who's benching him?
No. What? Jude Bellingham?
If he goes, teams are benching him.
If he goes Real Madrid, he won't last there. Those kind of clubs, bro, it's not that. It's not that. Like, I think he's a good player.
Same about Tchouaméni. Tchouaméni's now starting every game in that CDM role. Every game.
But that's what I mean. I think Bellingham's good, but if I was him, that move of Real Madrid and that is not for him. He needs to come back to the Premier League. He needs to come back to the Premier League. You know, look at Sancho. That's all I'm gonna say. Just look at him. What does he look like to you now? I was once saying, oh, Man United got him, I'm so vexed. Now I know why City allowed him to go. I can just see it. Like, I can see it.
Ironically, I think he would have done better at City, but yeah, I take your point, obviously, in terms of
your career move. A bad player, but I'm just thinking,
yeah,
why does it take,
wise about your career move.
Why does it take him? Because he went to Manchester, he went up to Carrington before he moved to Dortmund. It didn't materialize. Why does it take you leaving Birmingham to go to German league to ball out, which most people will ball out in that league? I don't really rate that league. To then say, you know, let's pay 80 million for this guy. What are the scouts doing? Like, what are you doing?
I agree. I think that, you know, that's a good point, because we've made it in terms of, we can only buy this world-class midfielder. He's the only midfielder that can improve our midfield.
Do you know what I mean?
There's so many midfielders that can improve our midfield, and I don't really like the way the club is moving in terms of, we turn down all these midfielders because they don't improve us. Yes, they do. There's a
they
lot
do.
Of
they
players
really
that
do.
Us.
Yeah, they do.
Like, you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of players. Like, this version of Henderson, it's a good player, but it's not a bloody world beater. You know what I'm saying? It's not. Cater, all these players, they're not world beaters. So there's a lot of players that can improve us.
Why didn't we go for that? Why didn't we end up with go for Bruno Guimarães at Newcastle? Why weren't we in for him?
Great question.
Guimarães, Vitinha at PSG is an absolute baller again.
What's the scouts doing, man? Like, a football manager, I've got about 16 scouts. And I've got them all over the world.
Glam, do this here. Put that on your CV and I'll get you the address. For the LFC scouting department and send it in, man.
Do you know what I mean? I've got my passport. My passport's ready. Fucking hell, man. Just let me go watch some games. Because
I think we will find out an inquest to that in terms of maybe is it the scouts or is it Klopp? You know what I'm saying? It's one. Something's got somewhere's gone wrong.
You know what it is, Peter? You'll only find out after we've signed our midfielders.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And by then it's too late because you can't do anything about it. It's like, okay, so this is actually what happened. It's like, nah, heads need to roll right now because that's the reason why we're suffering. But cool. All right, so Arsenal. I don't want to go too much into it, but I'm gonna just because it's just fresh after the Rangers game. I just kind of want to get your 1 minute thoughts, each of you, on what you think is going to happen on Sunday. So, Peter, I'll go with you first.
I mean, right now it's looking spooky because the amount of like this Arsenal in such good form. And my thing is that when we play teams that are structurally good and they kind of know their plan, they know their zones, they know everything that they need to be in. And that's the way that Arteta plays. You know what I'm saying? He's a manager who likes everything to kind of be accordingly. He knows he wants everyone to be in their positions and their zones. And that's something that we don't have right now. We are terrible structurally at the moment. I'm saying we don't even know how to play. So it could be a long day for us. But I think we do play the 4-4-2 today and it gives us more unpredictability. And I feel like we have enough quality on the pitch to maybe get some goals. So I'm seeing like a 2-2 draw. That's what it's given for me. Like a goals fest where they probably should have took more of their chances. and we kind of are clinical. Maybe like a Jota and like a Salah goal or something like that. So I'm seeing like a 2-2 draw.
Okay, cool. And you kept it to a minute as well. Glam, over to you.
Yeah, well, do you know what? Form going into this game, it's all on Arsenal, isn't it? Arsenal probably the favourites for once in probably a billion years. And literally a billion years. Which is fair play. The top of the league, they're playing well. But if there's a game that Liverpool need to say, you know what? We need to go out there. We need to rejuvenate our season. You know, we've lost only one game, as shit as we've been for Georgia, but we lost one game. Like, in a bad form that people are saying that we're in. And we look, don't get me wrong, we look poor. I'm the first one to say we look absolute poor. We look a shadow of ourselves. If there is a game that you need to win, to make a statement, it's this game against Arsenal. And I tell you why. Only because Arsenal probably the in-form team, maybe along with City. Probably not with City. Arsenal are an informed team in the league, period. You know, and we're probably one of the most outformed team in the league, period. Do you know what I mean? We're kind of easy to play against. But go out on Sunday, make a statement that can change our season around completely. And the only way we're going to do that, if Diogo Jota starts, we've got a great record against Arsenal. If Diogo Jota starts and we unleash Nunes against that defence, because Arsenal at the back, they are unstable when it comes to, especially Gabriel. If we start Nunes, remember I said this, if we start Nunes and Jota, we are winning this game. If we don't, remember what I said, I don't know what's going to happen. We might end up losing.
Well, fair. I mean, that's more optimistic than I thought you'd be. But cool, fair enough. I think it's funny with the Arsenal games. They always come at really crucial points of the season for us. And yeah, it's always at a period where either Arsenal are performing really, really well and we then kind of deflate them a bit with our victory and yeah, bring them back to earth. Or
yeah,
it'll be at a time where we're not playing great, but then we beat Arsenal and then we start playing really, really well. So,
yeah,
yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what happens on Sunday. I think it's going to probably be one of the toughest Arsenal games we've had in years, purely based off just the way they're playing and the fact that, yeah, that they've got an actual competent forward now who's actually troubled us previously with City. So, yeah, going to be a good game. The Touchy Gooners will be speaking about the game tomorrow as well, so please listen into that. Other than that, that's it from myself, Glam, and Peter. Lads, thank you for joining me. We will be back same time, same place next week. Keep it easy. Stay safe. Peace.
Peace out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.